This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Kelly and Company. Ramya Muthan, Kelly McDonald, host of the show. Before we continue, I do want to mention our podcast. You know, I was talking earlier about how you can find us, one of the repeats, and when we're here live. Well, if that doesn't work for you, check out the Kelly and Company podcast. Available using your favorite podcatcher. Just simply pull it up, do a search for AMI Audio, Kelly and Company, whatever is easiest for you, and you'll find our shows available. Plenty of stuff there that you might want to subscribe to. But please do start with us and then start plucking through all of them. As well, just make it easy on yourself. Take all the shows and subscribe to them. Anyway, you can listen to our show in segment form, or you can listen to the complete Kelly and Company podcast. On the end of that, we throw on an audio vanity card that's provided by one of the members of the team. So you can just settle on back and listen to the show in whichever form works best for you. Especially if time is an issue, you may only want to listen to some of the segments at your leisure. That's the Kelly and Company podcast, available using your favorite podcatcher. Ramya Muthan, Kelly McDonald, as I mentioned at the top, hosts of the program, hanging out with you today.
Kels, we're talking a little opera now, an accessible opera as well, as we discuss Opera Italia's release. They're releasing their first ever online audio-described film adaptation of Handel's The Resurrection, and we're very excited because the film will be free of cost to members of the blind and partially sighted community. And to tell us more about all of this is our good friend and returning back to the show, founding co-artistic director of Opera Italia, Marshall Pinkowski. Marshall, thanks for coming back on Kelly and Company.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Happy to catch up with you. Can you remind us a little bit of what the mission of Opera Italia is? It's been a while since we chatted with you.
Well, Opera Italia is an unusual company. We're Toronto-based, but we're very, very unique in that we produce primarily what we call historically informed productions. You see, we create productions from the 17th, 18th, even the 19th century, but we are always accompanied by an orchestra playing on period instruments. And by that, I mean instruments that are 250, 300 years old, or exact replicas of those instruments in Toronto. And frequently when we're touring internationally, it's Tafel Music Baroque Orchestra that accompanies us, one of the great period ensembles in the world. And so we really focus on looking at repertoire that sometimes is unusual, repertoire that may not have been performed in a long time. And we try to realize with the costuming, with the lighting design, the set design, things that help make a cohesive whole, something that make it all hang together beautifully as a complete artwork. But particularly, it's how the singers sing, it's how the orchestra plays, and how we respond to that that makes us really very unique.
I love it. And you like that unique because, again, it's something that, you know, regular goers may not even necessarily, you know, see, you know, often or like have that experience, hear it put together that way, or know it as well and say, wow, this is nice, fresh, and tied together. So Thursday you're going to stream Handel's The Resurrection.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little bit of background, first of all, on the film?
Well, the Resurrection, to begin with, is an extraordinary piece. Handel wrote it when he was a very young man. I think he was 21 years old. It was his first time in Rome, and he happened to be there during Lent, and so all of the theaters were closed. But he was desperate, like any great young composer, and he was already a famous composer, to show what he could do in terms of opera. So in order to get past that, he moved his production into one of the huge ballrooms, one of the Italian palazzi in Rome. And they created a liturgical opera, an opera that had characters like Mary Magdalene, St. John, Lucifer, the Archangel. All of these characters created a wonderful, rich, very moving, at times even amusing opera experience. And that was what we thought that would be an ideal project for a film for Opera Italia. Initially, this was going to be a live performance.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the pandemic, All of that had to change. But we already had people on contract. We had already worked on the sets, the costumes. We had already had coaching sessions with the singers and dancers. It seemed a shame to let all of that fall apart. And so we ended up being able to negotiate film contracts instead, a whole new rigorous set of protocols that we followed to keep everyone safe. That meant we actually pre-recorded all of the singing and orchestra in Kerner Hall, and that was with people behind glass and with all sorts of protective shields as they recorded, because this was early in the pandemic. And then we moved into the ballroom of St. Lawrence Hall, much like Handel in Rome. And the singers performed to a playback of their own singing. So they had to have perfect lip syncing, and it's impossible to tell that they're not really singing. It's fantastic. Every evening they would take home the recordings of their own voices and just practice in front of a mirror. And so with all of these things in place, daily COVID tests for 40, 50 people every day, all of our dancers, we managed to put together a really beautiful, beautiful film. And this is with Marcel Canzona, an amazing young filmmaker that we discovered about 3 or 4 years ago when he was still in Ryerson as a student. And we've been working with him ever since. So what ended up being a problem, or trying to solve a problem, turned into a real catalyst for creativity. Mm-hmm. I don't regret it for an instant. It's been a wonderful experience.
Wow. I love it because, again, it follows the mandate, finding that music, that's building the sets, doing things different, and giving people a different experience that you guys stand for, Marshall. And I'm sorry, because we're getting you to tell us all this behind secrets and stuff. But with COVID time, we know that's the stuff to really make people say, wow, I need
Absolutely.
To hear and see this.
Absolutely. It would have been so easy to have done nothing. You know, all of the arts councils have been wonderful. They guaranteed everyone's grants. They said, if you can't produce, we understand perfectly. We're not going to cut you. And I was very proud of the fact that Opera Atelier, we received our grant money and we spent it. We spent it on artists. We made certain that singers, dancers, instrumentalists, painters, costume designers continued working when so much work was being taken away from them.
Yep.
And it was a very, very important statement for us. So there was a wonderful sense of camaraderie and family between everyone. Even though the singers came from Europe and from the States and across Canada, the instrumentalists, the dancers, there was still a sense that we were getting past a problem. We were doing something in spite of all the issues. In fact, the day that we began shooting, and there were so many problems getting up to that day, actually getting to the point that we were actually in the studio with the cameras, with the crew, ready to shoot. And the young man singing Lucifer, great guy, Douglas Williams, a wonderful bass baritone who lives in Berlin, he turned to me and he said, I feel like I'm at a wedding. I feel like it's a wedding celebration. And there was something like that. We just couldn't believe it was happening. Some of the shots, we had to have people still wearing masks, dancers wearing masks, because, of course, they're dancing really heavily, and it was the whole thing of breathing and how safe was it or wasn't it. We wanted our singers to feel comfortable, and the dancers agreed that in some of the scenes when there was a large number of dancers on stage, they would be masked. Even that ended up looking beautiful. The masks were carefully made. They worked with the costumes. It added a wonderful sense of mystery.
Wow.
And you know, it's an historical piece now. It's out there, and it says something about being alive and creating music and theater and dancing in Toronto at this specific time.
Well, it gets me so excited to hear about this because, you know, you're talking about this camaraderie and feeling like a family, and
yeah.
Of course it would, right? Because in the middle
Absolutely.
Of all this chaos, you guys are maybe not literally, but holding hands to make this project work.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important for another level as well, Marshall, because it's available with audio description for the community and our audience. So why is this part important to you at Opera Atelier? And give us more background on that part of it.
Well, you know, we have always wanted Opera Atelier to be accessible, as possible. And that means making certain that the price of tickets, that we always have tickets that are available to young people or people who can't afford the really top line, the very top rung ticket price. But also, we wanted to go beyond that. We wanted to make certain that people from the deaf and hard of hearing community, the blind and partially sighted community, are not cut out of this experience, because this experience functions on so many levels. That's a whole level of what you hear, which is so thrilling, so exciting, and so fresh. I think it's the most beautiful music written in the history of Western music. But then there's a whole thing about what you see, even if you're not listening to the music. The visual aspect is so important. So it became a question of what do we do to be able to make certain that this is accessible as possible. And fortunately, a young student who has been at our ballet school for some time, Lauren Wu, she's been someone who is a real activist in the blind and partially sighted community, being partially sighted herself, and someone who has been in ballet class, seriously dancing, and sort of working through all of those issues and what that means for a long time. And as she's become more and more involved in Opera Atelier and has... we knew her since she was a high school student, but now, as someone who was in university and someone who is very, very, has a great social conscience and is politically inclined, she has really helped us put us in touch with the right people to make certain we're reaching as many people as possible from particularly the blind and partially sighted community. And what do we do to make it the best possible experience? First, it started with, we went to the Ross McDonald School, School for the Blind. We had workshops there to prepare kids for productions that they were going to come to. We've had the tactile tours backstage, where we brought people backstage to be able to touch the props, the costumes, to get an idea of what things feel like so they can imagine them more effectively when they're listening in the house. We've been working with Balance for Blind Adults, and then summers with CNIB, and it's just turned into a really rich and very enjoyable experience that makes us re-examine our own work. It makes us, every time someone asks you a question you didn't expect, every time someone looks at your work from another point of view, you learn something about that work yourself. And so this opportunity to do a live audio describe was just absolutely what we were looking for. It was the right piece at the right time, and we're really looking forward to it.
That's going to be beautiful. Marshall, really quickly, you're going to be doing a talk on Zoom pre-show on the 28th. Can you just quickly tell us what that is about? What's the purpose?
Well, Lauren Wu, this young woman I was just telling you about, she is going to interview me, and we're going to talk through some of the things that we've touched on lightly here. What was the process that we went through getting the show together? What were some of the challenges? What were the things that were infuriating? What were the things that were amusing? But also, we're going to talk about each character in the show. In Baroque opera, when characters appear, usually their first aria is a big statement of who they are. It's like they're holding up a signboard, and you find out so the evil people are really evil, the good people are really good, the people who need to be rescued are incredibly pathetic. So we're going to talk about the opening aria for each character so people can bear in mind how those characters are introduced when they hear them the first time and when they hear the audio description of them as well. Because there's only so much you can do with the audio describe. You also want people to be able to listen to the music.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people should just look at this talk that I'm having with Lauren as a preface. The sort of thing, an introduction, when you're about to start reading a wonderful book and you decide, well, let's read an introduction and find out about the book first. Perhaps I'll enjoy it even more. It's a prologue, if you like.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, Marshall, we have the details up on our blog, ami.ca/KellyCo, for people to check out more about this film. And really, really glad we got to speak to you and get all this information beforehand, because I'm very excited. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure. Talk to you again.
Yes, we will. We were speaking with founding co-artistic director of Opera Atelier, Marshall Pankowski, about their introduction of the first online audio-described film adaptation of Handel's The Resurrection.
You can find all that info, ami.ca/KellyCo. When we return, Danielle McLaughlin. She'll be hanging out with us. Of course, we'll get into a very lively conversation on Know Your Rights.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.